to episode 43 of Super States, Practices of Transformation, with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States explores the overlap of using trance states in all the ways you can access them with personal or professional growth. In each episode, we talk to world-class experts, industry leaders, and revolutionary thinkers who share with us the latest information, tools, along with their own personal stories that are there to inspire us on our journeys. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host or on YouTube. That way you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you enjoy the show, please give me a 5-star review. That's the best way to help the show grow. My guest this week is Lonnie Gonzalez. Lonnie is a multifaceted healer who integrates clinical and quantum healing hypnotherapy. She's a Reiki master and psychedelic-assisted therapy into her practice. She guides her clients through transformative journeys using both ancient wisdom and modern techniques to help them heal and grow. Turn it up and awaken your inner power with Lonnie Gonzalez. Welcome to Super States, Lonnie Gonzalez. I'm really excited to have you here today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Lonnie, before we get started, I always like to get a better sense of who I'm talking to. So why don't you share with us what you do, why that is important to you, how it makes a difference for people in your world?
Sure. So I started off as a lawyer, and the reason I became a lawyer is that I believe that lawyers can speak for people who don't necessarily have the voices or the courage to speak for themselves. So I enjoyed doing that, but on my own healing journey, I came across ayahuasca. And when I did ayahuasca, I realized that as great as the life was that I built, it was built partially on a lack of worth. I wanted to have a job, a career that looked good on paper, but I realized it didn't necessarily fill my soul. So as I started to explore ayahuasca, I realized that my highest calling and my highest pursuit may not necessarily be the law. But it has definitely served me in this area, because instead of life coaching, where people kind of talk at you sometimes, I like to think that the Socratic method that we learn as lawyers can be applied to this area as well. So asking the right questions, giving the correct prompt, so that opens up the mind so that people can start exploring within themselves, not necessarily needing a life coach, but understanding that they have all that information and knowledge and wisdom within themselves.
Yeah, that asking the right questions is so important. You know, it's the difference between telling somebody what to do and letting them figure it out themselves, which is really a lot better of a way to help somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah, the analogy that I give is when you learn to drive a car, yes, you start off with maybe watching some videos, someone talking at you, telling you how to, but no one really truly understands how to ride a car or drive a car until you're behind the wheel yourself. So yeah. That's why I think asking the right questions and going on these journeys, whether it's through ayahuasca or any other psychedelic or even hypnotherapy, I think is the best route to really have that information and seek it yourself.
So you started down this journey through ayahuasca, it sounds like. But now you're also doing, you're a clinical hypnotherapist, you're a master Reiki practitioner. How did those different modalities fall into your lap?
Well, interestingly enough, during my ayahuasca journey, I saw an image of myself in my office. And in my office, there was someone there crying. And I'm like, well, that's odd. I'm a lawyer. No one cries in my office but me. How could this possibly be a thing? And what I was told is that I'm leading people towards the light. And I was like, okay, well, that's an interesting notion. Let's note it. And I realized for myself, my opinion is that we are always supposed to do our greatest good. What is our highest potential? What is the best way that we can give and show up as ourselves? And once upon a time, that was being a lawyer. But now, as I have healed, as I've come to acquire knowledge and wisdom and truth of my own, I realize that it's no longer my highest calling. So I remember I had a friend once, she told me about Reiki. And she told me, she's like, once, you know, I had a friend in high school, and when he was sick, his mom would bring him to the woods and just put her hands above him. And as a lawyer at that time, my brain thought, oh, that's a liability. If something happens, that's like child neglect. She needs to be careful. But now, as a Reiki master, I'm like, absolutely. We are more than just our bodies. And energetically, there's a way to heal ourselves. And we can reciprocate to that energetic healing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you had these visions during your ayahuasca ceremony. What was that like to begin to make that into an actual business for you?
Ooh, I call this my labor of love. And what I like to think is we become open to the possibilities because our mind can think this much. Even though our mind is the fastest, best computer that we have, it can do this much in comparison to the universe. So I never thought that I would create it as a business. However, I believe that when we can help other people, we should do so. I think we have somewhat of a moral obligation to help those who are a few steps behind us. So I realized that, okay, I wish that other people could have this experience. I have encountered so many people who have gone to what we would call traditional modalities and haven't had the healing that they really want. So if I can bring that to other people, I felt it was a calling to do so.
Mm-hmm. Is there a certain type of person that you find yourself drawn to or that is drawn to you?
Absolutely. So they say that people are called to us for a reason. Those who need you will find you. And I have found that the people who are called to me have had very similar lives, who have had similar issues with whether it was rape, abuse, or anxiety, or depression. So it's funny because the clients that I have, as they are in a hypnotherapy session or they are under a psychedelic journey, they say things. They take this wisdom, and it almost feels like a reminder that heals part of myself too. Mm. So absolutely. I think that there are people from different walks of life who seek this type of treatment because it's not exclusively limited to certain types of people, but I definitely feel a connection to all of the people who come to me.
Yeah, and what would you say has been, what's changed about how you work with clients as you've been kind of going through your own journey here?
Ooh, what I have realized is the outcome is not my responsibility. I think as a healer and as someone who is caring and wants to help people, I was very, I suppose you would say, I judged the outcome of everything that happened, and I wanted to make sure that people were healed, or I received this profound wisdom or insight, but then these clients, you know, they may have gotten small parts of that, and I realized we get the information we need, and that may not necessarily be the same information I want to give them, so it's being less in control and giving way to something greater than myself. I like to think that I'm an opportunity. I will give you the opportunity to do things, but I'm not fixing you. I'm not healing you. So I would say as I've evolved in this journey, it's come from me thinking I'm a healer that needs to fix everyone to me just showing you a way and you take it if you wish to do so.
Yeah, that's a powerful, sounds like a powerful shift there.
Powerful shift, absolutely, because I think people see my transformation. People hear my story and they say, wow, she's powerful. I want her to help me. But the shift is, I'm powerful. But the reason you perceive that is because you carry that same power within yourself.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So you started with your ayahuasca journey, and now you facilitate ayahuasca ceremonies, correct?
So I actually bring people to Colombia. So I am physically there with you. But psychedelics, specifically ayahuasca, it's plant medicine. It is extremely sacred and it is due respect. So if it's not respected, I think there are consequences to that. So what I do is I help people prepare for 1 month, mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Colombia together. These shamans have been doing it for generations. They start training at the age of 7. And then when we come back, the real work starts. Mm-hmm. Ayahuasca is not the work. We come home, and for 3 months, we do integration, which is the most important part of the journey.
That's interesting. I really appreciate that because you're right. What I have noticed is a lot of times whether it's psychedelics or any other kind of life-changing experience, these things seem to almost happen outside of life. And we don't mm-hmm. always bring those lessons into our life. So this process that you've been developing, this is a really great way to then bring those learnings and actually integrate them in a powerful way.
Yes, absolutely. So knowledge and wisdom are so important to seek, but they are absolutely worthless if we don't put it into action. Mm-hmm. And to take it a step further, our healing and our actions, once we heal ourselves, I think we take it a step further and start trying to help people on their journeys as well. So I always say that psychedelics, I think they have their place. They provide you with profound transformation, a different perspective and information, but that is not the work. Their work is what we choose to do with it. And integration is an important part of our journeys.
Wow. What are some of the types of challenges people have come through to you with that you've helped them go through with ayahuasca?
So recently I've had a couple of people come to me with addiction issues. So unfortunately there are some people who have been addicted to things as early as 13 years old and have been struggling since well past the age of 50 years old. And these people have gone through traditional counseling. So they've gone through 12-step programs, they've been through support groups, they do all the little shifts here and there, but there's still something, for lack of a better term, that still itches. There's still something in them that's still lingering there. So by going to do ayahuasca or psychedelics, they were really able to understand the cause of that, the source of that, and really heal it so it wasn't there. That itch no longer existed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have issues with depression or anxiety, or relatively recently, a lot of people have been coming because they don't know what to do with their lives. They don't know how to serve this calling. So if you have a spiritual perspective, a lot of people are starting to evolve, ascend, whatever it may be, and they start to become more aware, and they realize, similar to myself, that the life they built is maybe there's more. But they don't know what the more is. So through psychedelics and even hypnotherapy, I have an overwhelming amount of clients who are older but say, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
I can resonate with that. It took me quite a while to – I'm a late bloomer, as they say.
Yeah. I like to think we're always blooming. So
yeah, good. When you're doing these journeys, are you working with – a single client at a time? Are you taking groups of people to Colombia? How does that work in the background?
So I take really small groups of people. So because I help people prepare for a month and I work with them intimately for 3 months after that, I want to give them that attention and make sure that they have all of my energy. So I don't like to take more than 6 people. Mm-hmm. Because of it is a labor of love and it's not something I feel I do for money, I'm willing to go with just one. So as a business owner, we always have to think about what is best for our business, sure. And as someone who runs retreats, one of the things they say is you have to be able to decide when to cut off a retreat, when to say, no, there's not enough people. But on my end, I believe it's my calling. I have taken just one person and it has served me. I have learned profoundly from it. So all in all, I think we get paid, even if it's not necessarily monetarily.
Yeah. What would you say is the most misunderstood aspect of an ayahuasca journey?
There's two things that are misunderstood. Number one, people consider it alternative healing. Alternative meaning it's not the traditional, the standard of what we do. And even though it's not the standard of what we do in Western culture, in fact, it's illegal in many places, it's been around well before CVS and Walgreens and the things that you buy there. So I think that's misconception one, that it's this taboo, unusual thing that may be unsafe or may not be something that we go to. It's existed well before our pharmacies have. The second thing that is very misunderstood, but understandably so, everyone is afraid of the ceremony itself, which is fine. I think a little bit of fear is normal, but I always tell people, and no one ever believes me, that's not the hard part. It's the unknown part, and that unknown causes fear. But genuinely and truly, the hard part is when we come home and now we got to work and now we have to change our lives and we take all that wisdom and information and we have the courage and the discipline to actually apply it and change our lives.
How do you help them to feel safe doing that?
To feel safe in terms of changing their lives? Well, we work together, and I think it comes from the very beginning, before we even go to that ceremony, is taking time to work with people. What is it that you truly want? What is it that you truly need? What do you feel is lacking in your life? And I think working through how badly do you want this? Because respectfully, if you don't want it bad enough, there's nothing I can do for you. So this transformation of our lives comes from the desire to actually change. So before we even do the ceremony, I work with people to really understand how deeply they want something. I also think it helps that I have experienced the journey many times. So I've done ayahuasca. I've been public and open about my journey and the struggles in that journey. So I think with having that vulnerability, it helps people feel safe. Because I don't sugarcoat what happened to me. I tell them how it truly is, and I'll answer your questions honestly and openly.
Well, what was your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge. Well, in terms of ayahuasca, you do purge and you may have an out of body experience. So my biggest challenge, I would say, is being out of control. For a person who likes to be in control and control equated to safe, when all of a sudden I was watching my body do things, and instead of me doing things, I was like, oh, look at this body doing things. It was terrifying. But interestingly enough, my body was doing the things I never let it do. It cried. It sobbed. It screamed. Anger is a difficult emotion for me to express. And even honestly, I still work on that today. But because I had so many decades of not being angry, my body was like just there screaming. But man, after all that screaming and like crying, my body had never felt so light and so clean. And I had a lot of health issues before doing ayahuasca. And after doing ayahuasca, I no longer had those issues. I had a big tub of medications I was taking that I no longer had to take. And I realized for myself, what makes us sick, or what made me sick, is all of the trauma and all of the anger and all of the feelings that I held on to. And it poisoned me and it festered. And when I was able to purge all of those things and my body was no longer using its energy to suppress, my body could do what it was intended to do. It was healing and it was thriving. So by doing ayahuasca, I was able to purge all of those things that I never knew even made me ill.
Wow. That's quite a... Yeah. Quite a story there.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say, or who would you say is an influence on how you work with people?
Ooh, who is an influence with how I work with people? That is a good question. I'm going to say something odd. Socrates.
Yeah.
That's not someone you would consider, but Socrates was all about the Socratic method when he was teaching his pupils. And Socrates, who is known as a great philosopher, didn't preach at people. He asked questions. He asked the right questions. So that has definitely influenced the way I work with my clients, is I ask the right questions so that you uncover your wisdom instead of relying upon my own.
That's important. And I love that how you're taking an ancient Greek philosopher and making him modern again.
Yes. Still relevant and still
absolutely
helpful.
Well, questions are questions, and they have a way of pulling, like we said in the beginning, pulling out those resources that you already have inside.
Absolutely.
Based on all of your experiences, what's a practical way that someone could use a super state like ayahuasca or even hypnosis or even Reiki to improve themselves?
I think the biggest thing that all of those things have in common is they provide awareness And maybe it's an awareness that we don't necessarily always have because we always live these fast-paced lives or we are focused on the external. So I think Reiki slows things down. Ayahuasca, hypnotherapy, they bring an awareness to what's going on inside. So I think once we can get an awareness of what's going on inside, if it doesn't serve us, we can alter it. So a lot of times we look at our external world and say, oh, I'm unhappy because, you know, I'm not making enough money, or I don't have the things I want, or I don't have my dream job. But let's look at what we're thinking inside. Do we feel worthy of it? Are we clear about the things that we value and the things that we want? So all of those modalities help us to look inward and really discover what it is we want so that our outer world can manifest it.
I think that slowing down is key for that, because what I notice, and I'll do it myself, just, you know, keep going, do all the things, and then you don't have to think about the challenges that you're experiencing that might be the things that are mm-hmm. actually getting in the way.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's super important to just be aware. And sometimes we forget how to do that. I'll give you an example. They say, how many times do you actually take a deep breath during the day? We take pretty shallow breaths, and our breath affects how we think, how our body feels, but we're not never really paying attention to our breath. So those are just one small thing that we could, if we changed how drastically our lives would change, if we breathe deeply, breathe a little bit slower, that small thing in itself would have a profound impact on our life.
So say someone is interested in exploring ayahuasca, what's a risk that they need to know before they start to do that?
There's a couple of risks. So not everybody can participate in ayahuasca. So if you have a mood disorder, it is not recommended to do ayahuasca. Also, it can elevate your heart rate. So if you have any issues with your heart, it's not recommended. Also, if you have a history of seizures, it's not recommended as well. I'm sure you can find someone, and if you pay them the right money, they'll do it. But I think it's better to err on the side of caution and make sure that we're safe. Also, I screen all of my clients before I allow them to go on retreats, and I want to know what work they have done. So if you are afraid of your inner child and you're unsure what shadow work means, you haven't been to counseling, I think we should start to consider alternatives first. I think the appeal of ayahuasca and psychedelics is that it's becoming very popular, very trendy, and also they describe it as having decades of counseling. So people want the shortcut. And I believe that plant medicine is sacred and it isn't for everybody, but we just have to wait for it to be the right circumstances, the right timing in our lives in order to participate in a ceremony like that.
So you mentioned it's kind of a renaissance in the psychedelic world. There's a lot of information out there, lots of talk that's going around. What do you see as the future of using these types of altered states for personal growth?
So my understanding is that there are psychedelics, specifically MDMA, that is under review that could potentially be legal in the United States. So what people believe is once that becomes legal, it paves the way for other psychedelics to potentially be legal as well. So fingers crossed that it will be more available to people, but I caution people as well, because once you experience that, I think people get confused and think that ayahuasca or psilocybin or ketamine are the medicine, are the cure. They are not the medicine. We are the medicine. We do not need ayahuasca. We do not need psilocybin. We don't need ketamine. We don't need MDMA. I think these are catalyst, but the true power is us.
I love that. You are the medicine.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've mentioned a couple of times that this is your calling. What do you want to be remembered for?
Ooh, what do I want to be remembered for? I think one of my greatest attributes, which I would love to be remembered for, is that despite the things that have happened to me, I have still been kind. I've still been open. I've still been loving. So I think that is something, oddly enough, I think that is one of the things that I'm most proud of. And I think that's something that I'd want to be remembered for. They say it's people don't remember what you do. They remember how they make you feel. And I would love to be remembered as that person that helped somebody, that gave them a light in the darkness.
And Lonnie, if somebody wants to connect with you, learn more about you, what's the best way to do that?
So my website is www.adastraawakening.com. It's A-D-A-S-T-R-A, awakening.com.
Great. I will make sure that we put a link to the website on the in the notes and in whatever social medias that you're active on as well. And yes. Lonnie, what's the one insight that you want everyone listening to this episode to leave here with?
Ooh, the one insight that I would love everybody to just keep in mind is that all of our paths lead towards the light. So I've looked at trees, for example, or plants, and the branches go different directions, the vines go different directions, but regardless of which direction they're going, they all move in the same direction towards the light. So I believe that our paths do the exact same thing. And even if we have more curvy paths, more sidetracks or detours, don't be discouraged. Our paths lead towards the light. It's easy to believe that we're behind because of social media and the people around us, but just know that all paths lead towards the light.
As a good friend of mine, mentor, once said, we're all exactly where we need to be in the right now.
I love that. I agree.
Lonnie, it's been really fantastic talking with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.